So good to look out and see all who come out to worship the God of heaven this evening. We have a good crowd, and we're always thankful to see lots of souls and hearts lifted up in worship. I was thinking about the reading tonight from Exodus 38. For those people, when it came to putting together that tabernacle, the amount of gold and silver and bronze that was given, it's just astounding, isn't it? How much they were willing to give for the Lord's house of that day. And it makes you wonder, how much are we willing to give for the Lord's house of today, which is the church? Appreciate that reading and appreciate the prayer by our brother Jacob as well. And the good songs that have been sung, having to do with trusting God and having peace no matter what's happening, because He's so trustworthy. There's a lot of anxiety in the world today. A lot of people who don't have peace. A news commentator on the radio not long ago said, anyone who doesn't have high blood pressure these days simply isn't paying attention. And if you listen to the news all the time, I think you'd pretty well have high blood pressure. A few years ago, George Barna, who does a survey and research inquiries into usually religion in America. But he did a survey on Americans' favorite sins. Now that's interesting, right? What are Americans' favorite sins? What do you think the top sin of Americans is? Pornography? Overeating? Surely not. Greed? Well, those would all be candidates for the top sin in America. But the top sin in America is anxiety and worry. It's what most people said, the majority of people said, 60% of Americans say they're often tempted to worry because of anxiety. Now, as I read that and say that, you're probably thinking, is worry a sin? Can anxiety be sinful? The answer to that is yes. Maybe not all the time, but a lot of the time it is. There is such a thing as good anxiety. The Apostle Paul, when he writes 2 Corinthians 11, verse 28, the English Standard Version there says, he says, apart from other things, there is this daily pressure on me of my anxiety for all the churches. That word for anxiety is the same word that's used elsewhere in the New Testament for worry and anxiety. And Paul says, I have a lot of anxiety about the well-being of the churches. That's a good kind of anxiety, though. It's something you can do something about and something you can pray to God about. He wasn't constantly stirred up about that, but it kept him motivated to make sure the churches were doing well, I'm sure. But much of the time when the Bible talks about anxiety and worry, it's labeling anxiety and worry as something that's sinful, something we need to stay away from. Certainly, it is not God's will for His children to be generally laden with anxieties. So, anxiety can be sinful. Jesus was pretty clear about it, right, in Matthew chapter 6. We'll be looking a good bit in Matthew 6 off and on through the lesson tonight. But in Matthew 6:25, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious, ESV says. Do not be anxious about your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor about your body, what you shall put on. So Jesus says, do not be anxious. And then, in verse 31, therefore, do not be anxious. What shall you eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall you wear? And then he says in verse 34, therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow. Let me get this straight. Do not be anxious. Do not be anxious. Do not be anxious. I think he's trying to tell us something. And I think that if God says, as Jesus is God, and he says three times, don't do something, it might be a sin if you do it, right? Don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. And then, the Apostle Paul writes by inspiration, be anxious for nothing. It's fairly all-encompassing. Now, Paul himself, we've already seen, he has anxiety about some things that are legitimate. But we don't need to be carrying anxiety with us all the time. We don't be people who are need to be people who are constantly anxious. We just sang the beautiful song, It Is Well With My Soul. And I wonder if we can sing that with all honesty. Are things well with our souls in a world of turmoil when there's a lot we could be worried about and when we're experiencing personal tragedies as the man who wrote that song had. And yet he says, it's well with my soul. Can it be well with our souls too? Anxiety is a heavy weight to carry. It's a heavy thing. In fact, in Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 25, ESV says, anxiety in a man's heart weighs him down, but a good word makes him glad. Anxiety in the heart weighs a person down. The New King James says, anxiety in the heart of man causes depression. Somebody who's depressed is weighed down. The translations are both good. It's been said that he who fears that he will suffer already suffers because he fears. We can add to our suffering by fearing suffering, right? We talked this morning about God being God even when we're suffering. But also, I think I indicated in the lesson this morning that a lot of our sufferings we bring on ourselves. No matter the cause of the suffering, we may always turn to God. But we are the generators of much that we suffer. And we're the controllers of our anxiety. The more anxious we allow ourselves to be, we borrow trouble from tomorrow. As Jesus said, you know, don't do that. Sufficient for the day is the evil thereof. You don't have to borrow that trouble for today. You don't have to be anxious about that. He doesn't want you to be. We all need to take a serious look then at the unnerving subject of anxiety. Not everything that weighs you down, though, not everything that you're anxious about is yours to carry. We want to tell ourselves that anything that relates to anybody or anything that we know about, we have the right to worry about that. We have the right to be anxious about that, but that's certainly not the case. We take on a lot of anxieties that don't really belong to us. So there was a woman who for years had been living with a lot of tension due to her various responsibilities at work, at home, in the church, in the community. She goes to the doctor for a checkup. She tells him, I'm not sure what's going on. I'm not sure what's going on, but I feel all run down. So the doctor, you know, ran some tests and interviewed her. And after he completed the exam, he says to her, he says, the trouble isn't so much that you're all run down, it's that you're all wound up. And that causes people to be run down, right? Being wound up, being constantly stressed, anxious, and tense about all that they're involved in. We may push ourselves to do more than we need to do. We may think that there's so much to do that we're anxious about it. We may become anxious about health, about personal or financial security, about the bombardment of the troubling news that we do hear and see through news media today. As those that know me know, I'm not much for being a mechanical engineer, but I hear that mechanical engineers spend a lot of time in some aspects of their work thinking about what's called the fatigue limit of certain metals. So certain kinds of metals have fatigue limits. It's, you stress them so much, you bend them so much or whatever, and that's where they're going to bust, that's where they're going to break or not hold. That's the fatigue limit. I think human beings have a fatigue limit, don't we? A fatigue limit when it comes to anxiety. And it's the point at which we break. We used to talk about people having, you remember this, old-timers like me, you remember when people had nervous breakdowns? You don't hear about nervous breakdowns anymore. They're called other things. But people are still having them, I'm pretty sure. It's where you're just completely overwhelmed with anxieties. The point at which we reach our fatigue limit. So here's the thing about all of that. Human beings have a fatigue limit, but God can bear the weight of our burdens. There's really no need for us to carry them when we can just give them to God. And that's the recommendation and the command, really, of the Apostle Peter when he tells us in 1 Peter 5 and verse 7 that we should be casting all your care upon Him because He cares for you. You don't have to bear all of the anxieties and worries and concerns of life. You can let God have those. We'll talk about that more later. Anxiety is heavy. What I'm telling you is, what the Scriptures are telling you, what Jesus is trying to say to us in Matthew chapter 6, is that anxiety is heavy, and it's too heavy for you alone. It's too heavy for you. And Peter says to us, you can give those cares to God. But anxiety is unsettling. If you look in the dictionary for synonyms for anxious, you have words like nervous, uneasy, restless. When I think of these synonyms, I think of the word unsettled. Someone wrote, anxiety is a thin stream of fear, trickling through the mind. If encouraged, it cuts a channel into which all other thoughts are drained. So think about this thin stream going through your mind, and then you let it keep on running and keep on running, and it's like a small stream that swells into a larger river in a time of flood, and all of a sudden a lot of debris is carried down, and the channel gets bigger and the channel gets deeper, and pretty soon you have this channel that's a gorge, it's a canyon of worry and anxiety in your mind. Everything is funneling into that. That's what he's describing. And I think it's a pretty good description of how anxiety can work to overwhelm us. And if anxiety then is left unresolved and unchecked, our anxious thoughts will take over to such a point that it seems like we can only think about things that we're afraid of, things that we're concerned about. And yet, a lot of those anxieties are not realities. It was Winston Churchill who said, "When I look back on all these worries, I remember the story of the old man who said on his deathbed that he had a lot of trouble in his life, most of which never happened." How many things have we worried about and been anxious about and fretted over and spent sleepless nights about? They never even came close to happening. God doesn't want us to live like that. Anxiety has three unsettling elements. The first of them is insecurity. Something bad is going to happen. You're just not sure about what is going to happen, but you have this sense of foreboding that something bad is coming down the pike in this thing or that thing or something. Secondly, there's this feeling of helplessness where there's nothing you can do about that. Something bad is going to happen. I can't prevent it. I can't stop it. It's going to happen, and I can't solve it. And thirdly, nobody to help me. I'm dealing with this alone. And I'm not really dealing with it. I'm just anxious about it. So with those three things, you remain unsettled. Something bad's going to happen. Nothing I can do. Nobody's going to help me. Nobody's going to help me, probably because you haven't shared the burden with them or the concern with them. But again, still, the feeling is you're taking it on by yourself. You haven't given it to God. You haven't given it to your spouse. You haven't given it to loved ones in Christ. You're just burdened with this thing. Anxiety in biblical times was given by God on occasion as literally a punishment. That's how bad it is. That's what a bad thing it is. God used it to punish His people. I direct your attention to Deuteronomy chapter 28. Look at verse 65. You might remember Deuteronomy 28 as the blessings and especially the curses God's telling His children, the children of Israel, as they're about to enter the promised land. He says, if you keep my covenant and you do what's right, you're going to be blessed in this way and this way and this way. But if you don't keep the covenant, if you break it and you're not faithful to me when you inhabit the land, there are going to be a lot of bad things that happen to you, just lots and lots of bad things. And he's very straightforward with them. So you have these blessings and curses. And he wanted them to remember these. You might remember he told them after they entered the promised land, the first thing they were to do is go to Mount Gerizim and Mount Ebal. And they read the blessings on Mount Gerizim and the curses on Mount Ebal so that everybody knew, all the children of Israel knew what the blessings and curses would be. So among the curses that would come upon the children of Israel if they did not keep the covenant. Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 26. They'll go into captivity, is what's being talked about, and there the Lord will give you an anxious mind, eyes weary with longing, and a despairing heart. Here's your punishment. You're going to have anxiety. The New King James Version there says, trembling heart. That's how God was going to punish them, and He did. In verse 66, you will live in constant suspense. I don't think that's a good kind of suspense. You're going to live in constant suspense, filled with dread, both night and day, never sure of your life. It's the NIV on that. That just sounds like a miserable existence, doesn't it? But then how is it that that could be an existence that anybody chooses? Why did they choose that? That's the existence they chose by disobeying God's command. But why would we willingly give ourselves over to that kind of existence when you can see how miserable it is and we can picture how miserable it is? Anxiety is unsettling and it's no way to live. It's no way to live. Evening, just a little while talking about how to overcome this issue of anxiety, which is so prevalent and may be the favorite sin of Americans. I think the first thing that we have to do in dealing with anxiety is to admit that it doesn't accomplish anything. We spend a lot of time concerned about this or that, anxious about this or that, and then it doesn't solve anything. It doesn't help one thing to be anxious about everything. That's what Jesus is getting at, again, back in Matthew chapter 6. When He says, and this is the ESV, which I looked into this translation. It's much different than what the New King James says, but either translation, I think, again, is valid, a valid way of translating these words. But the ESV says, which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? The New King James and the older translations say add a cubit to your stature. But again, I think either translation could be valid. The thing is, there are lots of things you can't change. You can't change how tall you are. You can't change the length of your life. You can't change that. You cannot add 1 hour to your life by worrying about it, by being anxious about it. Joseph Henry Theron, defining this word, anxious, that's translated anxious, says it means to be troubled with cares. To be troubled with cares. You can't change things by being troubled by them. Someone has said that whatever is going to happen, listen to this carefully, whatever is going to happen will happen whether we worry or not. So if it is actually going to happen, you worrying about it won't change a thing. Won't change anything. Secondly, once we realize anxiety is not getting us anywhere, it would do well to remember how much God cares about us. We mentioned this earlier, and Peter mentions it as we read when he tells us to cast our cares upon God because He cares for us. But back in Matthew chapter 6, of course in verse 26, look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? God's taking care of the birds. Surely you're as valuable as the birds are. Won't He take care of you? You are of more value. In verse 28, why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. So we worry about what we're going to wear. And I just, in every culture, people worry about what they're going to wear. If you go to some countries, it's a matter of, do I even have clothes to wear at all? There might be some concerns about that sort of thing in poor countries like in Southern Africa, where we go from time to time. Do we have, you know, clothes that we can... And then, of course, in America, that's not the concern. The concern is, are my clothes stylish? Are they cool? Are they, you know, will they help me look good in everybody's eyes and all that sort of thing? So those are the concerns that we have about... But we think so much about what we're going to wear. And I just want to tell you, no matter who you are, there are some wonderful looking people here tonight in some nice clothes, and not one of you beats the lily of the field. So you did all that concern about what you're going to wear tonight, and you're no better off than the lily of the field. And you know who's taking care of the lily? God is. God is. Jesus wants us to know that. When we're dealing with anxiety, then, God cares about us like He cares about the birds and the grass. And the problems that we're worried about and anxious about are often not even real problems. If we could eliminate the stressors, the things that we're being anxious about, that might help us to some degree. It might be good to take a vacation and get away from the things that are making you anxious in life and go to the mountains and watch a sunset, or go to the seashore and watch a sunset. And you might get a sense of peace from all of that, realizing that God's in control. When you get back home, the stressors are still going to be there, though. And so while eliminating stressors temporarily or in some ways permanently, we're really just dealing with the symptoms. What we're not doing is reducing stress by trusting God, recognizing that He cares for us, recognizing that we have a God we can trust. What's the truth about our feelings of insecurity, helplessness, and isolation? What's the truth about that with regard to the Christian? A Christian may feel insecure, but the reality of it is that Christians are very secure. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16, the Bible says, "Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." We've got the throne of grace to go to anytime we have any need. We can go to the God of heaven. How secure can you be? In a world of insecurities, that's about as secure as you're going to get. So the Christian may feel that stressor, that unsettled feeling of insecurity. They may feel helpless, as we mentioned before. But the reality is, every Christian has great help available, so that we can confidently say, "The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me?" Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 6. And while a Christian may feel isolated, the reality is that God is always at his side. Hebrews 13 and verse 5, He Himself has said, "I will never leave you or forsake you." So all of the things that unsettle us relating to anxiety are solved in the person of the God of heaven. And what we need to do is put our trust in Him. Complete trust and confidence in God's ability to deal with anything that threatens us. The God who created everything can deal with everything He created. The God who sent His Son to this world and let Him die and brought Him back from the dead solve the biggest problem of humanity, which is mortality. The God that can do that can do anything. And He's asking us to trust Him. And often a lack of trust is just a lack of belief in God's ability. It's not logical to believe in God and not believe in His ability. Paul recognized, as we often quote in Philippians 4 and verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And the things he's talking about there, of course, had to do with, at times, being without enough, living with a lack of support, a lack of finances, a lack of food, a lack of this, a lack of that, and yet he was somebody who could learn to be content in whatever state he was in. Go back with me, if you will, to the 94th Psalm. In Psalm 94, the psalmist says, if I say my foot slips, your mercy, O Lord, will hold me up. In the multitude of my anxieties within me, your comforts delight my soul. I may slip, I may fall, bad things may happen. All of these anxieties I have, and yet the fact that you're there and you've got me, you will hold me up. That alleviates all of that anxiety. That comforts, he says, and delights my soul. So, trust in God. I want you to notice the progression here. I've not said the same thing three times in a row. There's a nuance of difference. Remember, God cares about you. Remember that? You have a God you can trust. He's a trustworthy God who cares about you. And then, actually trust Him. So just to know that He cares about you and that you can trust Him doesn't mean that you do trust Him. This is right here, right at this point. This is where Christians, self-included, this is where I miss it. I believe that there's a God that really cares about me. I know I can trust Him. But do I trust Him? See, that's where it all comes together. That's the critical question. Do I trust Him? So look now with me in Psalm 46. And I'm just going to read this. It's so powerful. And then we'll make a point when we get to verse 10. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. We will not fear, even though all of those things happen. Because God is our refuge and our strength. And then listen to this. You got to get your mind around this. There is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. The nations raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered His voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. The Lord of hosts is with us. He who commands the armies of heaven is with us. He is our refuge. Sometimes, a lot of times of late, when people have been going through really stressful things with health and other problems that they're facing, you're just left with, you don't know what to say hardly to comfort and encourage. There are people, some in this congregation and other Christians that I know here and there, that are going through just excruciating trials in their lives, serious illnesses. They're people of faith. And yet, you feel like you want to say something that can encourage even people of faith. Not to be overly anxious, even in the situations they're in. And as I said, I don't know what to say much of the time. But one thing I've found very helpful for me to think and for me to share is just to say, God is with us. Just remember, God is with us. And that's what the psalmist is saying. Listen to it in verse 8. Come, behold, the works of the Lord, who has made desolations in the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in the fire. God can control all of that. And so, as we sang tonight, in the first song, what do? Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted on the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Be still and know. And then in that condition, talk to God about it. Just pray. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So many burdens we try to bear alone. So many anxieties we feel in our souls and our minds. We express them to ourselves, but we don't express them to God. He wants to hear. He wants to help. He is with you. He's got you by the hand. Give Him the anxiety. Now, appreciate your good attention tonight. As always, you, at least most of you, stay awake and look like you're paying attention. And that's encouraging to a speaker, I just tell you that. But I want to hasten to add, as we close, this is not a magic formula. I think, maybe y'all think, that I'm up here giving magic formulas to solve everybody's problems, and that's, nothing is a magic formula. But this is not a magic formula for dealing with anxiety. It is a divine formula that is supernatural, and supernatural is a lot better than magic. Be that as it may, you must still use the formula. Right? I doubt that I said anything really new tonight about dealing with anxiety. Jesus did a lot better job in Matthew 6 than I did tonight. You've got to use the formula. Admit that anxiety accomplishes nothing. Remember, God cares about you. You have a God you can trust. Trust Him. Pray to Him. Give Him those anxieties. There's a formula. It'll work if we do it. The trouble, as somebody told me long ago when I first started preaching, the trouble, it's not that the Bible has been tried and found lacking, it's that it just hasn't been tried. We need to try it, because it'll work. Tonight, give God your anxieties. And if you're anxious about sin in your life, troubles that you're dealing with, we'd be happy to help you with those. And if you need to confess a fault, if you need to name Jesus as your Savior and be baptized in water for the remission of your sins, whatever it might be, we're here to help in any way. We'd ask you to come while we stand and while we sing the song selected.